Welcome the rest of the world, literally the rest of the world, to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Tonight we're going to have Steve Barish. Also, I want to welcome once again WTAN and WZHR and Tantalk Radio 1340.com in Tampa Bay, Florida, and all the other affiliates that are starting to tune in. And I'm ready to start the show. This is July 29th, 2006. Those of you that have been checking out the website on the front of BBS Radio, I have a bit of an intelligence scenario going on there with stuff that's probably quite a bit ahead of what CNN is doing and MSNBC and Fox News. Because these are my old buddies in intelligence that are, I don't know why they're doing it, but we're getting the information before anybody does from the people that are actually on the front lines about what's really going to go on. So stay tuned to the front page of BBS Radio. Those postings will change. And anytime we're in a war situation in the Middle East, my buddies over there that are on site report in, and I'm allowed to release certain amounts of information. So with all of the commerciality out of the way, I'd like to welcome my guest tonight, a old racing buddy, an old Carroll Shelby fan, an old Hayden Prophet fan. It's a drag racers. We're all old ex-racers. Now he's turned holistic healer and spiritual psychic, Steve Barish. Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am, Fred. Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, really great, buddy. Really great.
Good. So you're having a good time?
Yes.
So tell me, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, I thought we would discuss the projectors and the projector necklace.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Yes.
Why would we discuss something like that?
Fred, I've seen a lot of things that have worked, necklaces that have worked. But this necklace is absolutely perfect. I have never seen anything like it before in my life. And we have so much to talk about. I guess I can get started right away. I've been wearing the projector necklace for about over a year.
Yeah.
It's extremely, extremely powerful.
Right.
I remember calling you, I think, the fourth or fifth day and told you I was seeing, well, you know, the idea with the Andromedans and everything. We've discussed that before. But the things we haven't discussed is basically... When I had the projector on, they had four diamonds. I had an 18-karat gold necklace, and the projector was gold. The face of the projector was platinum, and it had the diamonds in it.
Right.
And what happened was is that I was able
to... Before we go any further, let's describe what a projector looks like and what it is. Because you got to understand, we got a lot of new people down in Florida... They're saying, hey, what's this guy talking about?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, first of all, why don't you give a little background, besides the racing stuff with Carroll Shelby, how you got into this holistic business in the first place?
Well, I got in it when I was 40 years old. And,
yeah. What got you into this?
My teacher.
Okay.
My teacher. And he helped me through my life at 40 years old, and I was connected to the Almighty.
Right.
At exactly 40 years old. And
Now I got to ask you something, because this is where it's real interesting.
Yeah.
And bear with me on this.
Yeah.
You and I are old drag racers.
I mean, sir.
We were the guys that would stay up all week, skip out on our jobs.
Right.
We would make excuses why we didn't show up for work, me not working at NASA, or building these old 409 Chevys.
Right.
And all the stuff that we had.
Right.
So we could go racing on Saturday night. We'd work all day Saturday and all night Friday night, no sleep. We'd go out to the racetrack on Saturday night, break something, and then race 6 days after all the night and fix it on Sunday and race. How in the heck did we ever get into holistic health? We were drinking gasoline and smelled like transmission oil and clutch blow up and we were running funny cars and super stocks and Well,
well I remember the castor oil.
I had no clue I was ever going to do this in those days.
Yeah, I remember the castor oil. It almost smelled like alcohol funny cars.
Yeah, castor oil. Yeah, yeah.
You remember that one, don't you?
Yeah. Now, I'm saying to the audience, how the hell did we get, excuse the vernacular, but how the heck did we get here to where we are talking about health, science, and energy when we're drag racers?
Well, we did that when we were very young, Fred, back in 63 when you held the world's record for Superstock in a Z11, if I remember correctly.
That's correct. That's 65.
65.
Yeah.
And I held the record in IHRA in eSports with a Triumph. We were very young and very foolish, I think.
Yeah.
All my money was tied up in the car.
Oh, that's what money? That's all we
well,
car money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Everything
my
was
entire gone. Paycheck at NASA went into my car.
Yeah.
I ate nothing. I go to Taco Bell and eat junk food every night. You know?
I remember having a lot of fun. I used to see the 421 Super Duty Pontiacs and the Z11 Chevys and the Thunderbolts and the Hemis. I mean, those cars were tremendously fast, 800-900 horsepower. I mean, you know, they said 425 horsepower on the hood, but we knew better than that.
Oh, yeah, it was 500.
At least. They started at 500.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And but I think I was 21, 22 years old when I started racing.
That's how old I was.
Yeah. Yeah, we were very young. You and I think, are the same age. I'm 64, so I think you're about my age. And I started having feelings at 40 years old. I had met my meditation master.
Yeah.
And one night around 2 o'clock in the morning, when I was 40. Second or third month, I felt this strange feeling coming over my head, and I said, oh, my God, I'm having a stroke. And this white hand came over my head.
And so you thought you were having a stroke.
Honest to goodness, Fred, I thought I was having a stroke.
Okay, now you realize that that's Andromedan energy.
Is that the Andromedan energy?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
and
what happened was with me, after I left the Pleiadians,
yes,
and on that week, and there's other shows that the audience can go out. And for those of you down in Florida and WTAN Tan Talk Radio, go to the archives of my first shows, like on bbsradio.com. Go to my first shows, and it explains how I got into all this stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and just telling the audience that, because we got a whole new audience we're talking to now.
That's wonderful.
And as a result of that, the Pleiadians were much softer and much easier and more, you know, comfortable to deal with. But when, in 1989, when the Pleiadian connection left me, when I had a first contact with a lady named Liara, I thought I was having a heart attack.
Okay.
I'm serious. I don't know how, 89 and I'm 63, so
right.
Do the math, I must have been in my 40s. I thought I was having a heart attack. So it's the holographic connection is a little bit intense.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Very, very intense, Fred.
Yeah. So here we are as two guys. We didn't know each other. We're independent racers. You know, we were on different paths. And here we are talking on the radio, and you're back east and I'm out west. We didn't know each other from Adam until a few years ago with a similar experience. You know, were you planning on having an Andromedan experience or not?
Never. I didn't even know about the Andromedans, Fred, until I talked to you.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. Okay, go ahead. Let me interrupt. I just filling in for the audience, explain why, how we got here. We're not sure, you know.
Great, of course.
Yeah.
What happened was, as I was resting in bed, I was breathing very fast, and I saw all this gobbledygook, you know, worms, everything else being taken right out of my head. My whole body was clear in a matter of a millisecond.
Right.
And this beautiful voice came down to me, Fred, and just said, please follow everything that I tell you to do, every word. And I did. I lost 109 pounds in 9 months.
That's a lot. So you were a little bit of fat.
Yeah. I was basically told to what to eat, how to eat. I was allowed to do my own shopping, of course, but I would get yeses and nos for everything I did, Fred, for food, for lifting weights, for going swimming, for everything in my life was figured out for me.
How did that feel?
It was wild, Fred, and I kept on going in that method. And what happened was is that I became, it just was like automatic for me. And my dad was in the automobile business, and we had three automobile. Well, he had a lot of agencies in Philadelphia, but we moved to Rochester.
What did your dad do exactly?
Well, he was the owner of Mount Reeve Volkswagen, BMW, Toyota, and I worked with him. And
what did you do?
Pardon me?
What was your work capacity?
My work capacity, I was a mechanic, and then I did wholesale of parts. I couldn't sell cars because that wasn't my line of expertise.
So you fixed stuff and you got the parts out to the gang.
Yes.
Cool. Yes. No idea of holistic health here.
I had no idea whatsoever.
If I'd have walked in with a pyramid on my head as one of your customers, what would you have thought of me?
I said, you must have been a car racer.
Too much nitromethane.
Nitromethane for sure. So I did meet my teacher at that particular point.
Yeah, now where was he at?
He was in Rochester. He was a professor at University of Rochester who gave up his professorship to study energy.
And how old were you then?
I was about 36.
Isn't that funny? Now, my parallel story, I was 32.
Okay.
I met a guy named Dr. Sandy Bernstein in Hollywood.
Okay.
Who was a friend of the old Dalai Lama at the time.
Wow.
That many times. Same age, and he
right.
started to turn my life.
Wow.
So we're a few years apart, almost the same story. It's Dr. Sandy Bernstein. He was a psychologist to all the movie stars.
Wow.
I met him through a friend of mine who was a makeup artist when I was getting involved in the film industry, because then I was an entrepreneur and I'd made a few million dollars. But I didn't have I had no clue about any of this stuff.
Yeah.
I was
into
making money and going out with cool actresses and actors and having a good time in Hollywood. I was doing a Hollywood trip.
I met him.
He was the psychologist to the stars. And he took me into Tibetan mysticism, and suddenly making movies in Hollywood stars didn't make a damn bit. I was into him.
Right.
Oh, there we go. We're parallel again, a few years apart. Go ahead now.
The interesting part about it, Fred, is that I was told to keep everything simple. Everything had to be simple. I couldn't figure out things. I was told not to discipline my mind to the point of being able to say to people or make judgments. I couldn't make judgments about anybody.
Yeah, I was told the same thing.
Right. And just
'cause I had a huge attitude and I was a Leo and I was cool.
Right. Well, I was a Taurus and
I
tried to do
that. I thought I was cool.
Yeah, so I really tuned in, Fred.
Yeah.
And I was told to keep everything simple. If I was shopping for food, go in, yeses and noes.
Anything were you a vegetarian then?
Pardon me?
Were you a vegetarian then?
No.
Huh?
No.
Okay.
It
wasn't either. It came later for me.
Right. Basically, I started to see colors. I started to see chakras. My teacher had me go in my body. I visited all my chakras. We were able to open up trigger points in our body and open them up in a millisecond. Every trigger point in the body we could open up in a millisecond.
Did he teach you asanas or yoga positions?
No, we never did that, Fred. We did a tremendous amount of meditation. We did... We started out with a small meditation, and then we went to intermediate, and then went to very advanced, and then we went to experimental, which is quite interesting stuff. We went to out of our bodies right into heaven.
Right.
You know, where the white light would come down.
That's
the
bliss experience, called nirvana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we would bathe up there for about an hour.
And how long did it take you? Once you met him, to actually have your first experience?
I would say about 3 months, 4 months.
Yeah, that's about what it took me.
Yep.
I had never done any drugs at this point.
I've never done anything in my life. I never have. I've never even had alcohol, Fred.
No, you're beyond me. I became an alcoholic in the 40s. Then I cleaned up and became an AA member. But
right.
Same thing, though. You know, I had never done drugs, and I was not much of a drinker then. Actually, during that time, I had zero alcohol.
Right.
So that's another thing that I want to bring up, that we are pretty much virgins with substance abuse.
Yes, absolutely. I know that I was getting high just from the meditation.
Me too.
You know, it was just wonderful. And my teacher told me that there's not a drug on the planet that could match the high of meditation.
Did you ever try to share that with any of your friends at the time?
Yes, I tried to tell them about meditation, and
You were going nuts?
Some of them did, Fred, because they didn't even know at that time. You know, it was not really open in Russia.
No, I understand. I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, but it's, I feel that with the advancement and technology that you've shown us, it's the projectors and the projector necklace.
I understand. I want to continue on with your enlightenment process.
Okay.
Very important.
Good, okay.
Because we're going to archive this show, and any time that I have a guest on like you, that's very important. I want people to understand, especially with the newcomers that come on board, I really think the archives are important because they need to understand how we went to this total level of insanity that both of you and I operate on
right.
now. We completely are disconnected from everything. They got to know how we got there.
Right. Yeah. So with the advanced meditation within the first year, I went through my heart chakra, went out the other side into the universe for about 3 years. And stayed out there. I was scanning the universe. I really loved it. It was wonderful.
You didn't have to work during that time.
Yes. Well, my father owned the business, so I was really not working that hard, but I was really studying.
You were showing up and meditating while you stood at the parts counter.
Right. It was just amazing. You know, so
we're off in the ozone.
I had the ability to do that.
Yeah,
to
no,
be
able I can
to
see
work
that.
And discipline my mind. To be able to work and to be able to stay in the universe.
You still like cars?
Excuse me?
You still like fast cars?
Oh, Fred, we talk about that all the time.
No, I want the audience to know. Do you still like fast cars?
I really like drag cars.
Yeah, still?
Yeah, I still like the drag cars. NASCAR, it's okay, but drag cars, and I love 4 speeds and 5 speeds.
Yeah.
That was the challenge.
So even with all this enlightenment, it's like, you know, my story always was that if you had, there's two guys sawing wood,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're sawing wood on a cross-cut saw somewhere in the Oregon woods or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then one or both of them put the saw down, take off for 10 years to China or Japan or
and
get enlightened. And then they spend another 4 or 5 years playing with it. And then about 15, 20 years later, they're back sawing wood again.
Right.
Are you in that category?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Isn't
it
great?
Oh, yeah, Fred. Absolutely.
Yeah. So go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're fine. The more that I stayed out, the more humbler I became.
Exactly.
It's just...
You think you were kind of a jerk when you looked at yourself at first?
No, Fred, not really. It felt so good to me.
Yeah. So you didn't look back at your past and consider yourself a bit of a jerk or anything?
No, Fred, I really didn't.
That's where we differ, because I thought I was a complete jerk, because I used to push people around a lot, you know?
No, I never did that, Fred.
That's okay.
That.
I just wanted to... There we have a contrast. I'm not proud of the way I was, but I was kind of a egomaniac pusher.
My teacher taught me that he pushed people around.
Yeah.
And not to do that.
Yeah, I understand that now.
So I lucked out that way.
Yeah, well, you're more of a mellow guy than I was.
Yeah.
What's your birth sign?
Taurus.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong sign.
Yeah.
That's a bull, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm a pretty grounded guy.
Are you allowed to go in China shop?
Yeah.
Okay. So I know, I'm not allowed to go. I'm a lion, but I can't go in China shops. I roar and break everything.
Oh, no, I haven't got that bad yet, but maybe one of these days, who knows?
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So anyhow, I came back, and I did a lot of exploration.
It's like about 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah, it was about 3 or 4 years later,
okay.
And we started to explore, again, other chakras. I went into my other chakras, then I went into...
Now, just follow the people, some new people out there, how would you define a chakra?
What is that? Okay, there's 7 basic chakras in the body.
Right.
What I would do, the chakras for me at the time looked like pure white light.
Right.
In other words, when I went down to the center of my body, I would stop at my throat chakra. The throat chakra was pure white light.
The thyroid gland.
Yes.
Right.
And then I would go down to the heart chakra and down and down and down. The last one we opened up, of course, was the first chakra, which is the toughest.
What?
It's the toughest chakra to open up.
Which one was that?
The first chakra.
Okay, the Mahadra?
If that's the Mahadra,
sacral, actually the sacral. Yeah, sacral.
Okay, that, right. Fine. Okay, that would be it.
Okay.
And then at that particular point, Fred, I was able to go down to my feet and look out my feet. It was really wild.
Yeah, that's the sexual chakra,
yeah.
Violet.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I was able to go down to my feet and look out through the front of my toes. I was able to go through my hands, look at my hands. My third eye was easy to look out. Then I was told not to be afraid, but start going through your spine. And I was told to go through my own spine and take a look at it and see what it looked like. And it was a little hairy for me, but I did it and went all the way down to the sacrum and then the coccyx area and then came back.
What did you see at the base of your spine?
What I saw were three little nerves. There were three nerves in the bottom. And what would happen was there was a white light that would touch the three, and the light would come right up the spine.
Right.
And as I was going down, Fred, if there was any blockages, for some reason, God gave me the strength to be able to clear all that. And I've been able to do that with clients. I've been able to do that with their blood. I was shown some people who were very ill, and God just told me, he said, look, just go right down. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. If you see something black, which I did, he would point out to me a black one. He said, hit it with light, and the light would hit it and turn it completely clear. So that's what I did with the blood, and the blood is actually thinks. I mean, it's wonderful to go through the body and just enjoy seeing the body itself. It's really a beautiful tool.
Right.
It's really, really beautiful. And then at that particular point, let me see, this would be around 1985. Oh, yes. What we would do is strictly meditation. We would meditate 4 or 5 times a week. And at that particular point, I told him that it was getting to a point where I couldn't breathe. He was opening up more of my consciousness. And I just sat down and said, I just kind of got to stop for a couple days. And he gave me a couple days off. And then at that particular point is when I started receiving messages. And the first message
Steve, did you learn to do the fire breath at any point in time in that?
I was taught to breathe in the breath of God.
It's fire. Well, that's the holy breath. Yeah, I understand. Okay.
Is that it?
Well, let me explain what that is to people out there. The holy breath of God is a very slow breath that just as you bring it in, you breathe in, you let it fulfill every cell in your body.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what I was.
Slow and easy, and you just let all the stress go, and you're just very euphoric, and
right.
You just let it go out, and you concentrate using your diaphragm to breathe in
yes,
and out,
yes,
and just
absolutely.
Take a look, right?
Absolutely, Fred.
Yeah,
and I think
this is the fire breath, which is a very fast breath to produce a highly oxygenated state of cellular rejuvenation of the body to do some powerful Kundalini exercise.
Okay,
go ahead. Two different types. That's the way to start, because that got rid of all your subconscious stress.
Yeah. So what happened was is that...
By the way, it also lowers blood pressure tremendously.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my teacher said, make up your own words to go into the body. Don't use my words. Make up your own words.
Exactly. It's a mantra.
Your own freedom. So what I did was I said, I breathe in the breath of God, and Fred... I used to breathe it without saying it, and it was nothing. But when I said I breathed in the breath of God, it was like everything opened up in a matter of seconds.
Right.
Cells, the blood, everything. It was just like everything was being rejuvenated. I could feel it going into my brain, my blood. It was amazing, Fred.
You were just turning your energy over to a higher power.
Yes.
Which
absolutely.
Was also part of you.
Absolutely.
But your ego probably blocked all your life.
My ego was blocked all my life.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Still is.
I try to allow that energy to go through my body without any kind of friction at all. And it takes a lot of work, Fred, as we both know, the discipline of getting your
now,
mind.
Now, we're still talking a long time ago here.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. This is years ago, Fred.
Yeah.
This is years ago. And I would be able to stand 50 feet away and put my hand up and just tell somebody to put their hand up in front of them. And I would put one hand up and they would sway back and forth 50 feet away.
Right.
And it's not that I was trying to show in an ego sense how everything worked. I was trying to show them that there's no limit to our mind or our mind power or the energy. And
so sort of like tapping into the universal mind.
You are tapping into the universal
mind. Exactly.
There's no question about that.
Exactly.
Exactly. And the universal mind is divine mind.
Right.
And it's so powerful, Fred, as you and I know, and I imagine a lot of people know, that a divine mind is everything. And the universal mind is, you can have anything you want. You can have absolutely
Oh, exactly. Believe it or not, a lot of families back in the old days tapped into that in a subconscious way and conquered the world with it.
Yes.
I mean, you can use it for anything. The idea is to use it for good if you want your karma to get lighter.
Yes.
And you can
yes.
use it for anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's very important to do that. Let me see. About 7 or 8 years ago, I was meditating with a client. Every time I do a massage and I'm using the energy, I go into a very deep meditation.
Right.
And I was invited into a cell into my body. And what happened was I went through the cell, and in the center of the cell was the entire universe.
Exactly. That's the way it is. DNA.
Yes.
The ribonucleic acid.
So what happened was is that I was able to see that, and I started to cry.
Yeah.
And I cried, Fred, right in front of my client. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was so stunned.
Well, this was your first transcendental experience with a client.
Yes.
And how old were you then, or how many years had gone by?
I think it was maybe about 6-7 years ago, Fred.
Okay.
And I was able to see that, and then I realized that the cell is so innocent and it's so pure, and it's replaced, what is it, replaced every 30 days or something like that? A zillion million cells are replaced.
Yeah, 90 million cells per second, actually.
Right. And I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, what is God showing me here? And I'm starting to realize that universal mind is absolutely everything. There's no difference. Absolutely no difference. So at that particular point, I opened up to a more consciousness of a field around me. I could feel another field around me. It was bigger, Fred. I could feel the universal power all around me. It wasn't like it was just inside, but it was completely around me, Fred.
Yeah, so at this point, your definition of that was the universe.
Yes.
You hadn't defined it to be an Andromedan or a Pleiadian field yet. It was just a universal field.
It was just a universal feeling.
Yeah.
And years ago, I started getting sayings. I heard the voice tell me that the truth to me is very profound. It is a balance, a flower, a key to my soul of never-ending love to myself. And the second saying was, I glow in my own aperture of loveliness, not limited to Mother Earth. And I didn't know what that meant for about 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And the last saying I got is, be not afraid of who you are, for who you are is what I am.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot of this stuff, but my rabbi wants me to write a book on it. I just don't have time for that.
Yeah.
But anyhow,
now just stop for a minute.
Yeah.
Throw yourself back to your 20 years old and you're out drag racing.
Yeah.
Is that a contrast or not?
Oh, my God.
I mean, would you thought when you're out there running those cars that this is where you'd be one day?
No, I never even thought that.
Yeah, okay.
Never even
thought
that.
Go on now. I just
right.
throw that in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as time went on, I opened up more. I was able to I was able to open up people in a matter of a millisecond and a few years later.
Yeah, now, when that's a big, heavy statement. You
it
can
is
open
a big,
up people
statement.
In a millisecond.
I
must have like a magic key to do that. You
well,
must be able
what
to
happens
hit buttons, because remember now it's taken you almost 10 or 12 years and suddenly you can do it to somebody in a millisecond. How is
yeah.
that possible?
Okay, what happens, Fred, is this.
Yeah.
Is that when you have a tremendous amount of light, and I don't mean this in an ego way.
I understand that. I think the audience does too by now.
When you open up to light, I was able to walk into a room and see black in people, and the black would disappear in a matter of a second. I mean, it would just go from the people. It's a matter of thought. It's a matter of discipline of mind.
Yeah.
And it really works. I mean, it actually really, really works. And that's a heavy statement to say, but I've done it.
No, I got that, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked a lot about different things. We've talked about the nuclear receptor that I got about 8 years, I think it was 8 years ago, Fred.
Been 8 years?
Been 8 years since my nuclear receptor.
8 years?
8 years, Fred.
Wow. I thought it was just like a week ago you called it.
The nuclear receptor, for anybody that's new, was the first receptor, the first necklace that I remember buying from Fred. And I was at, my wife and I were in Canada at the time.
Oh, it's when I was in New York.
Yes.
Yeah, doing that New Life Expo show with Mark.
Right.
Yeah.
And what happened was...
Which I may do this year again.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And we were in Toronto, and I told my wife, said, honey, you gotta check this out, this necklace. I saw, you got to check this out. And so she came back over with me. She said, geez, this is the same necklace I wanted to show you. And
found it earlier.
Excuse me?
Your wife found it earlier.
Yeah, she had found it earlier.
She was a true scout in the family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so we really did a lot with it, Fred. We really did a tremendous amount with it. And we ordered the necklace in Toronto.
Okay.
I don't know how long it took, but we had a ball with it. And... I was selling necklaces and doing stuff for you. You know, I would come. I think it was Falco, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. And she was fun to work with. And they were doing kinesiology at the time in Toronto. And
were you going to that show up there that those people do, that Total Concept show or whatever it's called?
Yeah, it's Total Health Fair, I think.
Total Health, those are good folks. I want to do that show again, too.
It's fantastic, Fred. You know, if you do that, I'll come work for you.
Yeah.
You know, up there. But anyhow, they were doing kinesiology, picking out different color stones for people.
Yeah.
And I said, Falco, I think I can help you a lot, honey. I don't need to do kinesiology. I can tell what they need in a matter of a millisecond. And so I sold a lot of necklaces for you at that particular point.
No, you were there. You existed. You know that. I was so busy.
Pardon me?
I still did not know that you existed in our force at that point.
Really?
Our force of energy, folks. Okay. You know, it was years later that I really got to know you, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And then a couple years later, you came back up.
Yeah.
And I went down and I started selling again for you. And... Falco had a 18-karat gold necklace and nuclear receptor.
Right.
And I was wearing a silver necklace with the blue sapphire stone.
Yeah.
I had worn that for...
That's heart chakra.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had worn that for 4 years.
Right.
And then what happened was she had an 18-karat gold necklace with a diamond, and I said, honey, can
I
try
this one? Three-wave bridge we had in those days,
Okay, and I put it on, and about 30 seconds, Fred, I was going, it was like me being with my master again, just going out.
Look at that.
And I came back, it took me about 30, 40 minutes, and I handed it to Falco Bell, and I said, honey, I'm not ready for this necklace. And it was wild. I mean, it was just wild. It took me right off the planet.
Yeah.
And so I gave her back the necklace. And I think in another 2 years, I had worn 2 years and then another 2 years for the silver necklace. And then I bought my 18-karat gold receptor, and my wife gave me her engagement ring to put in as a stone. And then I was capable of wearing that.
That's something that I have to emphasize to people out there. These aren't toys. We have a United States patent on it, and we're about to get FDA approval once we go through some tests on the nuclear receptor. It's not a toy, is it?
No, it's not a toy at all, Fred.
You need to be tested for it to get the right one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I remember wearing, let's go back a little further, I remember wearing my silver necklace, and my wife and I were on vacation in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, and I saw a lot of black coming out of my back.
Yeah.
And you didn't know me from Adam, and I didn't know you that well. And I called you, and I said, Fred, I'm seeing a lot of black pouring out of my back.
Yeah.
And you do. And I said, Fred, I can see this while I'm looking to my wife. I mean, it's just pouring out of my back. And you told me that that was the x-rays that was coming out of my back. And I don't know how long that lasted. It lasted a while, but...
What did I say it was?
It was the x-rays, you know, x-rays from dentists.
Oh, yeah, yeah, gamma rays. Yeah,
right.
Gamma rays have a tendency to decrepitate the bone structure in the body. Yeah, it's true.
So the positive charge that I was getting from the necklace was clearing everything.
Yeah.
And at that particular point, Fred, I knew that I had something around my neck that was unbelievable. And it was extremely powerful. And people would look at this thing, Fred, and they knew that it wasn't a toy. They could look at it and say, that's a beautiful necklace. Does that heal you? Or does it, because it's not a regular looking necklace, and I can, you know, some people could feel the energy of it.
Right.
And I said, yes. And we were very proud of it, Fred. And I wore that for 4 years. I mean, I just wore it every day. Then I, of course, I went to the gold necklace, and then I think about 3-4 months ago, I sent in the necklace to have the pave put on.
Yeah, now the pave bridge is a special, like, linear amplifier that goes on the nuclear receptor, which causes the gemstone out in the center, which is tuned to one of the seven chakras or one of the seven frequencies of hydrogen atom, to really resonate in the body. Therefore, if you got a problem with your liver, we tune it to the liver. If you have a problem with your heart, you know, blockages, it unblocks. It does all those things. Now, you know, it's old technology. We developed it in 81, but 1981. But today, it's still tantamount for people who've never experienced. It's like brand new for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for that, and I'm really excited about
it. I think it's been shipped.
Oh, great. And you have such wonderful people working for you, Fred. I mean, Mikkel is such a sweetheart. She's, you know, you call, you get answers. You know, she'll help you. She says, you know, we'll call you back in 24 hours, and I can get an answer from her. And she's really cool. I mean, she's really totally working
100%. And it was really funny because you brought up my ex-wife of 13 years.
Right.
And she was here today from Germany. She's an airline stewardess. It's always been, she was even one of them with Pyrenine.
Okay.
She met Mikkel today for the first time. Of course, they both had receptors on.
Right.
And she just checked in to make sure everything was cool and then left.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty good devotion. Here's my ex-wife and my present, you know, great helper and special friend, Mikkel.
Right.
Meeting, and they're talking Pyrenine today.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's amazing, you know.
Right.
It's really amazing. It's like it's a Pleiadian deal, you know. It's the only way I could describe it. Yeah.
And then I wore my gold necklace, I think, for a couple of years, Fred. I think altogether it was 4 years for the silver, 2 years for, maybe 3 years for the...
Now, I want to ask you something. When you're wearing these, did you wash them off? Because they pick up the water
as
radioactive.
Yes, I wash them every day.
You know, and the radiation in the air is probably about 4%.
Yes,
I wash them every day. Radioactive, like radon gases from the atmosphere,
right,
and heavy metal poisoning from the ocean, which is radioactive,
right,
strontium, 90s, etc. So, did you notice when you washed them off that?
Fred, I could see the energy. I would look at the back of the necklace, through my body, and I would see it light up, and I could see it to see the positive charge coming into my body.
Yeah. So, how long do you think? In your case, can you wear one of these things before it becomes so radioactive it becomes damaging and self-destructing before you have to wash it off with water? How long?
I usually wash it every day, Fred.
Me too. I just wonder.
Yeah, I don't want to play around with it. This is not a toy, and your mind's got to be very disciplined. You can't have something old. In other words, if I would put it on again, I might pick up some energy from yesterday.
Yeah.
And I can't afford that. I can't do 7-8 people a day and have to worry about.
Now, when
what
you
I
say
did
you
yesterday.
Can't do 7 or 8 people a day, what do you exactly do to 7 or 8 people a day?
Well, what I do, Fred, is that I do massage 1 hour a day.
Yeah.
and I'm doing energy work all at the same time. So in other words, if
what is energy work?
Energy work. I actually can see in the body, Fred, as I'm working. I can watch the black energy coming out of the body. I can watch blockages open up. I can watch different.
So what do you call? What would you exactly term black energy to be?
Well, the black energy, a lot of it is emotional.
Yeah.
A lot of it is stored old negative energy that's in the body for years.
Right.
And I've had one of the best energy people in the city told me that I took out 20 years worth of negativity in one visit. So it can be done. It's just the discipline of the mind. It has to be. You have to be disciplined. It's incredibly important. I can't stress it enough that we have to go back to the basics. We have to go back to our breath.
Right.
It's very, very important. The body is a holy temple. We have to keep our body as holy as possible. And we just need to do that kind of work constantly because people are...
Feel in relationships when people don't get along, they create black or dark energies?
Yes, most people do that, Fred.
Yeah, and most people do have relationships. Even though they're good, there's some darkness in there.
Absolutely. Everybody has it. As a matter of fact, I found out that... a lot of the stress in the body and a lot of the mental stress actually goes down in the body, and I found a lot of it in the legs, in the calves.
Yeah, now you know that in the left leg, when people start getting blockages, which a lot of people get, that could also oftentimes lead to a heart attack.
I work on those legs, Fred, for a good maybe 6-7 minutes a leg, just on the calf, because the energy will start flowing out. I can see it go up the body. I can see it go up the spine and out the head.
So do you feel that you're leaving a heart attack, a potential heart attack?
Fred, I never looked at it that way. I was just looking basically at the energy, watching the energy release. And you know a lot more about energy than I do. So I suspect if you're telling me that it can release a heart attack, you know, from having heart attack.
Well, you know, what happens is that when you get the sympathetic nervous system, mm-hmm. That is what goes through and vibrates the veins and arteries in the body, in the leg.
Yes.
If it starts plaquing up, if you get stressed out, you're converting your oils in your food diet, saturated fats, whether you want to or not, which then starts plaquing everything.
Yes.
And when you get plaque, then, of course, what happens is that the flow of blood through there is very slow. And so what happens is the aortic pressure, the lower number on your heart, on your blood pressure, starts going up. And that's the one that'll kill you. It's not the top number that'll get you. It can be 190. It shouldn't not be over 120, but or 160. But the bottom one is the one that gets you. Because what happens is the blood gets caught in the legs. It's down below the heart, and it can't get back up to the heart because the pressure is not there anymore.
Right.
It's blocking. It's like stopping up your drain.
Yeah.
So you can take a bath, but then you let the drain open the drain up, the water doesn't drain.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the important part is getting the negativity out. So when my clients leave, I've been doing this for 13 years, and I still have my clients from 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've been clearing them out, for quite a while.
I know you have a lot of clients.
Yes, I do, Fred. I probably do 150 a month.
That's a lot of clients.
Yeah, that's a lot of
a big clinic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of them are return.
Yes, I'll take new people. As a matter of fact, I told Mikkel the other day. I think you were on the phone, weren't you, when somebody called me from San Diego? They wanted to come in.
Yeah.
They wanted to fly in for me to work on them.
Yeah.
And so I have to call her back. But I worked on her over the phone. She had some trouble with her uterus, and I healed it over the phone, but she still wants to come in. Her husband wants to talk to me about the procedure.
Is she a young girl or what?
No, I think she's about 39. 40.
A young girl, yeah.
She wants to have another
baby. A lot of girls have problems there because of stress.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Not just from the husband, who could be fine with the job.
Right.
Yeah.
Stress is a terrible thing these days. And I'm finding out, Fred, that we don't take the time just to relax and honor ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's so bad, Fred. People should really honor themselves. They should really honor Mother Earth. And a lot of people are buying magnets to put in shoes and different things of that nature. All we have to do is take our shoes off and walk on the earth.
Same thing. It's true. And the problem with magnets is the body has what's called the Seebeck effect. It's a non-polarized magnetic field. So when you start polarizing the cells in the body, the body works on osmosis. It relies on negative and positive charges. And if you're not a magnetic therapist,
right. My
feeling is you have no business doing anything with magnets. You need to go to a specialist that will monitor your meridian pressures to do magnetic therapy. That's my feeling. I don't know if that's correct or not, but what do you think about that?
I think that you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, but I believe that Mother Earth can cure everything. You know, I just think it can just cure so much, Fred.
Yeah.
And we don't pay enough attention. We're so far away from ourselves, it's just incredible. I mean, we really need to honor ourselves. We really
Right. It's a temple. You know, temple
of the
soul, of the body.
It's a holy temple.
So now when you bring the audience up to speed now, we got into these projectors, and so people can understand what they are.
Okay.
They'll see them on the website.
Okay.
By the way, what's your phone number if people want to contact you?
Yes,
what's your phone
number? 585-442-5410. That's my office. It's Brighton Massage Therapy in Rochester.
Repeat that one more time.
It's 585-442-5410. And I'm more than happy to talk to people, you know, in between massages and stuff.
And
like
they can
that.
Call the Pyridine number, 1-800-729-2603. It's 1-800-729-2603 for a reference.
Now,
Steve Barish.
Yeah. If you want, what I can do is tell them about the projectors in the room.
Yeah, now, first of all, so people understand what they are, these are devices that look like two receptors melded together with kind of a special geometric design. Remember, geometry is how the whole body works. If the geometry is off in the red blood cell is not going to function. If the geometry is off at the base of the brain, the pons is solved, the brain is not going to function. And what throws geometry off is usually stress. That's usually what throws geometry off because these are living cells. So we have a special geometry that's kind of almost shaped like a banana that's flat. So go ahead.
Well, the projectors I put up on the wall.
Yeah, these are about 9 inches big, long and about 4 inches wide.
Yes.
You have four of them, right?
Yes, I have four of them. And
they're designed that you can aim these things. They're like satellite dishes.
And when I got the projectors, they were horizontal.
Yeah.
And then I put them vertical and raised them at 15%, maybe 10%. In other words, raised the bottom of the projector, and the top of the projector was laying back, and the bottom of the projector was up a little bit.
Yeah, they're mounted on a little stand, and you can swivel them 360, and you can move them horizontally vertical, so they can be positioned in basically any attitude, in any direction.
And what I did, Fred, was basically when I put them up, I started seeing things right away. We don't have to go into the Andromeda, you know, if you don't want to do that. But I think the main thing is that I would see the light in the projector itself. I would see a ball of light in the center. As a matter of fact, I called you the other day, and I was telling you that every pyramid in it, that there was light at the edge of the pyramid. There was light on the top pyramid, on the bottom of the pyramid, and a big ball of light in the center of the room. And that energy was quite powerful.
Are you the only one that sees this, or is anybody
else? I think
else so. It?
Even Valerie, you know, she'll call me and we'll...
Yeah, Valerie Olmsted, who is another BBS radio host, who also, medical doctor, uses the same system.
Right, and Valerie and I, like you, you know, we became, the three of us became very close. And I call Fred at least twice a day, once a day, and I'll tell him what I'm seeing with the projectors. And they are extremely powerful. They are not toys. And I have been able to do miracles. It's a little difficult of a statement to say, but that's the absolute truth that I've been able to do that.
Yeah. So in other words, what you define as a miracle is you're able to allow people to have an exposure to your work, and they have a profound change in their life.
Yes, people with problems in their uteruses, they go to the doctor. I think we talked about the woman with 13 cysts, and she went back to the doctor, and they were totally gone. And
what did the doctor say about that?
The doctor couldn't believe it. As a matter of fact, I had seen that happen. I didn't even work on her in terms of massage. We were doing meditation, and I felt this light come through me and go into her breast, and I saw them actually dissipate. And I said, when you go to the doctor next week, please don't tell him what happened here. She says, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, when you go there, I think you're going to be heavenly surprised. And she went there. The doctor looked at it. He called in his partner. He couldn't believe it. He said, you know, these were here a year ago. There's 13 cysts. I count them. They're here.
Yeah.
And this year, they're gone. I mean, absolutely. There's no scarring, no tissue burning, no nothing. Everything was clear as a bell, Fred. And I know the woman. I don't think she'd talk about it, but she didn't tell her doctor. She left with a big smile on her face. That I know. And so I've been able to help people, women with their uteruses and different things of that nature through the body. But again, these are not toys. They work extremely well. You've got to have good thoughts in your heart. You have got good thoughts in your mind to use these projectors. And they're absolutely wonderful, Fred. I don't know how you did it. And I presume the Andromedans were involved with it, but these things really work, buddy. You know,
Well, it was a long process. It started back in the 80s.
Took
years to get the right engineers to design the computer drawings.
Right.
Took more years to get an actual mold made. And it took more years to get the mold where we could reproduce it. It almost took 5 years just to reproduce the mold because there's so many unique and odd angles.
Yeah.
Now we're talking NASA people here that work on this. Unique and odd angles that by the time you poured this thing into a mold, it just didn't come out right. Something was wrong with it. It would be warped, twisted, geometry wrong size. It was just endless, endless, endless.
Yes. And so I've been able to have the Palladians in the room as we have discussed before, but the energy of the projectors themselves are extremely, extremely powerful, and people love them in the room. They absolutely love them.
Do you ever work on any young people, children, or anything like that?
Yes, I work with children, and I work also with young kids. I think the youngest I've had so far with the projectors up, I think she's 11, if I remember correctly. Really sweet kid.
Yeah.
Her mom comes in.
What kinds of problems do the kids have that you work with?
Stress.
Stress?
At 11 years old, they have stress.
Yeah, are they on Ritalin at all?
No, they're not on Ritalin. The mother is naturally raising the children.
Okay.
But the kids have stress. You know, the teachers push them. They do sports. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And but she tries to take them out into the woods and, you know, hug the trees. Oh, yes, today. Taking a 2-year shamanic course, and I had told you on the last visit that I have been able to see the eyes of trees and the spirit of trees.
Right.
When I was out getting my lesson on trees today, I saw the spirit in the center of the tree. And as I was hugging the tree, the spirit hugged me. In other words, the spirit actually put his arms around me. It almost looks human, Fred.
Yeah, and people don't realize that the 40% of the oxygen in our atmosphere comes from trees, and the other 60% used to come from the ocean, which doesn't do it anymore.
Right.
Now we have to rely more on trees.
Right.
So that's a life force. That's a source of life force.
And so what happened was is that the arms, I could feel the arms going around me, and there was so much love, Fred. It was absolutely incredible. It was like loving nature. It is loving nature.
Yeah.
And so the feelings were tremendous. I mean, it was such a glorious feeling.
And one of my favorite trees, of course, is the maple tree.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of maple.
Love maple syrup. I don't like doing bloodletting on them, but boy, their syrup is so good. And it's very, very, very healthy for you.
Yeah.
It's good natural stuff. Sugar.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's the other thing that I was doing today. I try to live a good life, Fred. I try to do whatever I can to help myself and help my brothers and sisters on the planet.
I guess your bank robbing days are over.
Yeah, I guess so. At least my drag racing days are over right now. But I've got to tell you, Fred, your policy and your honesty of doing things has absolutely it's wonderful that you could share so much with everybody on the planet that wants to get involved. And if we can get into enough people out there to use these projectors, we can actually change the fate of the world. And the fate of the world right now doesn't look so good right now.
Yeah, well, some of the most powerful entrepreneurs in the world now are not only interested in this technology, but are actually, as we speak, and they're listening on the radio tonight, and they know who they are, most
right.
powerful people in the world,
yeah.
in the big league, are absolutely sharing that with you.
Yeah,
you're
going to
see that's going to happen. By the grace of God,
yeah.
we've got the right people behind us, and our first expansion was down to Florida permanently,
right.
and
right.
we're going beyond that. And the next time I have you on the show, you probably have maybe 100 million listeners.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah. We started out with 14 about a year ago. It was
right.
August 4th or something. Don would know. He's probably listening in. I don't know. It's like
right.
I started with BBS Radio.
Right.
And we had like 14 listeners. And I had to work several months to get a 16th or 17th listener. And then suddenly
right.
it took off.
Right.
I remember when I had 34 listeners.
Yeah.
And that was scaring me. I had too many people listening in, you know, but
yeah.
now we're growing a little bit, you know.
Well, that's fantastic, Fred.
Yeah.
You deserve it. You deserve an awful lot for helping everybody.
Well, I don't want anything. I just want...
I know.
My whole thing is I just want the world to be happy.
Well, you're headed in the right direction, Fred.
Yeah.
You're headed in the right direction. I just thank you. That's the only thing I can say is thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, once again, we're running out of time.
Okay.
We're down to the last couple minutes of the show here. So I want you to give out your phone number.
Yes, my phone number is 585-442-5410, and I'm willing to help people if they want to call.
Yeah, that's very good. And I'm going to see you up there at the Weston Harbor Castle in
yes.
Ontario, Canada, in a few weeks.
Yes.
And if you want to stand up and talk to the folks, I might let you do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they can come.
All I want to do is give you a big hug. I haven't seen you for 8 years.
Yeah, that's about time.
Okay.
Get the old Nuisance Brothers from BBS Radio to come up and join us, you know?
That would be nice. That would
be fun, huh?
Yeah. That'd be great. Fred, thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. So we're winding the show down here now. I want to thank everybody down in Florida. I want to thank all the internet listeners. I want to thank all the supporters out there. And I want to thank God, you know, whoever God happens to be, for allowing me to do this show. I'm really excited that we're expanding on all fronts. And with that, I guess we'll finish the show. Are you back there in the background, my co-host, Don Nuisance? Are you there? I don't hear him yet.
Yes, I'm here.
Are you there?
Absolutely.
Say hi to my audience, Don. I'm in Florida.
I'd love to say hello, and it's... good to be on the air with you, Dr. Bell. Sorry I'm talking a little light.
Yeah, when you guys down in Florida, this is my my comfort seat, you know, co-host Don Newsom. He's always on every show. He's always in the background. He'll always be on every show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's an honor to have him, and he's the guy that was crazy enough to put me on his network when it was just starting out, and I think we're real proud of it. And tune in to BBS Radio and then WTAN 1340 10 Talk Radio, because we're going to have a lot of new exciting shows coming on. I might even be switching my Tuesday night archive show to some other time. We'll announce that so that we can have some new live wire from Hollywood or someplace come on. So with that, Don, I'm going to sign off and let you take this to the next level.